The first lesson is taken from Kings, second book, chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Boscath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right nor to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent his secretary, Saphan, son of Azaliah, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and make him get ready the money that has been brought to the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Make them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And make these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also make them purchase timber and dress stone and repair the temple. But they do not need to account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported it to him. "Your officials have put out the money in the temple and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors of the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He then gave orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Saphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Uzziah the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, what is about written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Uzziah went to speak to the prophetess, Huldah, who was the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah has written, because they have forgotten me, they have forsaken me, they have burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you have heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disasters I will bring to this place." So they took her answer back to the king. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 28. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, The streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fail, because it had foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, open our hearts to receive the words that you have for us this morning, for our benefit and to your glory. Amen.
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 We often take God's word for granted. And I'm sure many of us here have got multiple copies of the Bible in our houses in many different versions. It could be good old King James Version or the NIV as used in the church, or for the more fastidious ones, the English Standard Version. And of course, having the Bible so readily available does not necessarily mean that we are diligent in reading the scriptures, devoting ourselves to reading the Bible. And in the business of life, Bible reading and prayer are often the first things to be neglected. And perhaps some of you, after listening to John's reading, are actually discouraged, because who wants to read about Shaphan, Ahikam, Mephibosheth? Those names don't exactly roll off the tongue. But as we look at the account of King Josiah in 2 Kings 22, Josiah, who was a king of the southern kingdom of Judah. Just a bit of background here. You will remember that the kingdom of Israel had three kings, Saul, David, and Solomon, before it was split into two kingdoms. You had the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom had no temple, no priests, and every king from that kingdom was evil, from the beginning to the end, until the kingdom of Israel was taken into Assyrian captivity. The kingdom of Judah in the south fared better, even though most of its kings were also evil. But this long line of evil kings in Judah was punctuated every now and again by a good king. For example, Hezekiah was a good king. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And Josiah was also a good king. And even though Josiah came to the throne at the age of 8, the youngest king proved to be the greatest king. And the nation of Judah at that time had lost its way. Now, even though Judah had the temple, even though Judah had the priests serving the temple, they had lost their way. You know, Hezekiah had been the last good king. His son Manasseh had been evil most of his life, repenting towards the end. But Manasseh's son Amon was evil to the core. And you're wondering what would happen when Amon's son Josiah came to the throne at the age of 8. But Josiah proved to be a good king who set about to restore the temple. And it was in the process of restoring the temple that the high priest, Hilkiah — what a lovely name, Hilkiah. Sounds like a name I know. The high priest, Hilkiah, found the book of the law. And you get the impression that Hilkiah did not go looking for this book. He stumbled upon it as he was about the business of restoring the temple. It's a little bit like a friend at college who went to a Cambridge University college that was selling its books, and he got a first edition King James Bible for £1. And being the honest man that he was, he chastised the college for their poor show and lack of concern and gave it back and said, "You could do better." And such, but more tragically, was the state of the nation of Judah at the time. There was no concern for the book of the law. This book of the law that had actually shaped the nation, the book of the law that Moses in Deuteronomy had said they should meditate on day and night and teach their children. This book of the law that had actually given the nation its identity, its divine identity. They were the nation of God. This was the book that was gathering dust in a similarly dusty, derelict temple. And so we read 2 Kings 22 from verse 10. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in it. When the book was read, there was sheer terror in the king's household. By that time, Josiah had been king for 18 years, and even though he was a good king, he hadn't realized how far they had strayed from the word of God. The nation had been in open rebellion against the word of God, but they were blissfully ignorant. They were restoring the temple, a good thing to do, but they were guilty of far greater sin. They had neglected the book of the law. This would have been like driving a coachload of passengers at 70 miles per hour for miles and miles on the motorway to suddenly realize you're on the wrong side of the carriageway and there are three lorries coming your way. And in response to its reading, Josiah tore his clothes. The book of the law was clear. Idolatry was a capital crime. Sabbath breaking was a capital crime. Disobey your parents was a crime. Adultery was a capital crime. And yet the nation was blissfully ignorant, aware of the sin and unaware of the judgment that was about to befall them. All was well in Jerusalem, they thought. All was well with them because they had a temple. They had the priests. They were not like the northern kingdom, which would, by that time had already fallen to the Assyrians. Surely God was with them, because they had the temple and the priests. Now, the king wasn't half bad either. Josiah seemed like a decent chap. And young, 26 at that time. But for all the external signs of health, the nation was a breath away from God's judgment. God will not let his word return void. And when he promises damnation for neglecting his word, he will deliver. As he reiterates in his word, verses 16 and 17. This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Now, I'd like to make a confession at this point. Even though I have a calm exterior, I've been known to blow my top for no good reason. Indeed, we as human beings are selfish, and when we don't get our way, we lose our temper. But thankfully, God has blessed Juliet and me with many children. And besides the joy they bring, God has used the boys to chip away at my selfishness. I'm learning, by God's grace, to be less angry. But here's the difference between my anger and God's anger. His anger is because he is holy. His anger is not selfish. His anger is because he will not be profaned by sin. His anger is perfect. And his anger is unquenchable. It's one thing for me to be angry with any of you. What could I possibly do that's of any consequence to you? It's quite another for Almighty God, who is perfect in his all in all his ways to be angry with you. Hence the words of Jesus, don't be afraid of man who can destroy only the body. Fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And the temptation that Satan brings has been to cast doubt on God's word. Now, what did the serpent say to Adam and Eve in the garden? Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And what did Moses say to the Israelites, lest they be tempted to forsake the Lord for worldly riches? Moses' words, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what did Isaiah say to the nation of Judah before the reign of Josiah? The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. And how Satan tries to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, again, by casting doubt on God's word. Now, Satan, taking Jesus to a high place, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, all this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. We have the same temptation today when Satan comes and tempts us, whispering, did God really say that? Come on, you're a modern man. You really can't believe all those things in the Bible. Did God really say that? Did he really say that you should honor mother and father? Did he really say that stealing from the government on your tax return is a sin? Did he really say that homosexuality is a sin? Come on, move with the times. Did he really say that adultery is a sin? How can one man find satisfaction in one wife? Doesn't even science tell us that men are wired to sow their oats far and wide? The whispers of Satan are constant. The whispers of Satan are tempting. They are so tempting. Don't trust the word of God. He's only a killjoy. And your happiness is best attained without God and his word. And yet the cost of forsaking God's word is terrible. His wrath is unquenchable. His wrath was displayed to Judah when the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity. And in spite of Josiah's reforms, subsequent kings neglected the word of God, and Judah went off to Babylon. The cost of forsaking God's word is high. And the destruction of Judah was horrendous. It was destruction upon destruction, so that the land and the people were laid waste, and the precious temple was destroyed. God's anger burns hot against those who rise up against his word. His anger burns eternal against those who rise up against his word. But listen to what God said to Josiah. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have also heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. The anger of God is coming, and it's unstoppable. Come to God in repentance and sorrow of heart over the word of God that you have ignored, twisted, or rebelled against, and you will find salvation from his burning anger. Josiah found salvation. He saw the error of his ways. The book of the law is a mirror. It exposes all our faults. But after Josiah died, the nation returned to business as usual and neglected God. God handed them over to Babylon for their disobedience and lack of faith. They ignored the written word. They ignored the prophets that God sent to them. They had no regard for God's word. But God's word tells us that we are sinners. God's word tells us that we are wretched sinners. It is a mirror that shows our open rebellion against God. But thank God that his word is also salvation. His word is also salvation. And God has provided salvation in the living word, Jesus Christ. There is no other where we can find salvation but in the word of God, Jesus Christ. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I beg you to receive his word with fear. But I also urge you to receive his word with repentance to the eternal gladness of salvation in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are a God who speaks. May you open our ears, may you open our hearts to receive your word. Because there is no salvation except in your word. We cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Amen.